fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
While he's doing that, let's intend to have a lot of fun. Let's intend. Oh, look, Kyla.
What?
You're going to page my page. It just started by itself.
Wow.
I didn't touch the phone at all.
Wow. I listened to both of those this morning, Kyla. Two meditation morning.
I listened to the joy one this morning.
I did the one in the morning and the joy one just now.
Yeah, I like it.
The joy one, so good.
I don't have that one yet. Need to get it.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's go into airplane mode. That was a good reminder right there. Okay, so let's intend to have a lot of fun. Don't be worried about what other people may think. Just, what happened to Steve? Did he leave?
I'm right here.
Oh, your picture's gone.
Huh.
Motorcycle.
Now it's back up. Okay. How about everyone's here? Okay. All right. So let's have a lot of fun and ask whatever you want to ask and don't care what it may sound like or what everyone might think about it. Remember, you are talking just to 6 million people and some of those people have the same issues you do.
Oh, goodness.
All right. Let me do my thing. We are thrilled to be here.
Thrilled to have you.
Yeah, always.
It is an exciting time to be here. This is the end of September 2016.
Mm-hmm.
No other time on Earth has been exciting as this time. This moment right now is the most expanded and the most exciting moment that has ever been in the time of Earth. And you're here on this planet at this time of awakening, at the most exciting time it's possible to be here. Could you imagine being anywhere else that's better than this? You're talking within a group of people on the leading edge of the leading edge of the most exciting time in the history of the planet.
Amazing.
If you only knew how many people would want to be here, how many entities would want to be where you are right now. How many would be thrilled to be here? That's why we say we are thrilled to be here, because there is nothing more exciting than this right now for us. So what is exciting for you? Do you think about that every day, all day? What is exciting? What do I want to do? What's the most fun thing to do? I'm here to explore. Am I exploring? What am I exploring? What should I be exploring? What should I do next? 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 This is fun. This is fun. This is fun. This is fun. Or are you saying, oh, it could be better. Oh, if only this wasn't happening. Oh, if only this wasn't happening. Oh, if I just get rid of this one thing. Oh, if I just change this one thing. If this person would just be this way, then everything would be great.
Exactly.
But everything is great. It is great. You're just distracted. You're distracted by these little annoying things that don't mean anything. Just remove your attention away from them and focus on what you want to do. The reason you don't focus on what you want to do is because you think you have to do something other than what you want to do, but you never do. Everything in this reality is designed to serve you and bring you towards that which you want to do. This is what this whole universe is about. You just get distracted because people from the time you were a child told you you had to do things you didn't want to do, and yes, you had to do them, and so you did them, and now you think that there's certain things you have to do and certain things you don't want to do, but everything is for you. You're just perceiving it in a way that's negative. Like if you have a tooth that isn't perfect and it annoys you and irritates you, right? And the first thought you get is to go to the dentist, but you think, I don't want to go to the dentist. The dentist is not a fun place to go. I'd rather be doing something else. So I wish the tooth would just heal itself. But the point is that the tooth is an indication that you should go to the dentist. And when you get to the dentist, something else is going to happen there. Something at the dentist is going to provide you what you need. What do you need? You don't know what you need. But here's this indication that you should be going to the dentist, so you go to the dentist.
Are you serious? Because that was one of my questions.
I have a sore tooth. Steve, you know we're never serious. We're just joking around here. Nothing serious. This is all for fun.
Okay, but I have a tooth that's kind of bugging me a little bit, but I don't hate going to the dentist, so I never go to the dentist. And I was saying, why do I need to go to a dentist? I'll just find the vibrational reason for my tooth, and it will heal itself. And now
can go to the dentist.
Yeah, but I don't want to go to the dentist. I want to just vibrationally heal.
Do you want to have beautiful, lovely teeth? Attractive, manly teeth? Teeth that can chew food and eat, so you can eat food for the rest of your life?
Yes,
I do. You want to smile and have a beautiful smile?
Yes, I would.
And do you believe that part of that is going to the dentist?
No, it's all me. I create my body. I create my teeth.
Then you don't have to go to the dentist then. But do you believe that you should brush your teeth?
Yes.
Believe that you should brush your teeth?
Yes.
Believe that in oral hygiene?
Yes.
Do you believe that a dentist can help in oral hygiene?
I think that they would try to beat me up over not going to the dentist. When you go to the dentist, they expect that you do this and this and this and this, and they're not going to understand, well, I do a vibrational check on my teeth every day, so I don't really need to see you all the time.
Excellent. And that's very true. And if that were true, then your teeth would never become an issue.
So I guess I'm waffling here a wee bit.
Well, we think that you might be waffling a little bit on your idea of the dentist. You see the dentist as a con man, a charlatan, a businessman, out for themselves, out to make money, out to reap the highest reward of this patient in the chair as possible.
And yet...
There are dentists out there who do it for the joy of dentistry, who do it for the joy of creating healthy, beautiful smiles and teeth that will last for years and solving issues that people so that people have no pain. So that there are those dentists as well. Would you agree?
Yes.
Okay. So you understand that you are a high vibrational being, and from the point of view where you look at a subject from the most empowering perspective possible, from the highest perspective possible, that you could be led to the proper dentist. And how would you be led to the proper dentist? The dentist that would be able to fix your tooth and would not rake you over the coals or chastise you for not properly doing the things that the dentist thinks you should do.
I'm just going to stay in a good mood, have an intent to meet up with a dentist like that, and then I will be inspired at the right moment to do the right things to find him.
Inspired to overhear conversations, inspired to ask a friend, inspired to read a Yelp review, inspired to go on Google, inspired to do a million other things that will lead you to the proper dentist. Exactly right. But to believe that you're going to be led to the wrong dentist, the dentist who's going to chastise you, the dentist who's going to charge you, is looking at how the universe works from a limited perspective. Right?
Okay, so I'll have to stop villainizing dentists.
Right. Stop villainizing everybody. Anybody.
Well, everybody except dentists. Dentists were a special group. I'm just joking.
That is an act.
I have a wonderful dentist.
Oh.
And I hate dentists.
Oh, okay.
So I've been going to this guy for 30 years.
Well, what a coincidence.
Yep.
I will have to get that dentist from you.
Yes.
There you are. Miracles do happen.
I thought it was miraculous you brought up the dentist thing.
Right?
I didn't mention it to anybody.
Well, I sent in a question about my tooth like 2 days ago.
Oh. Yeah. We're all linked together, obviously.
Right.
You are having equal dental manifestations so that this one question could be answered. That was the only point of the tooth, the teeth problems. Simultaneous tooth issues organized by the universe so that this one question could be answered live. So that the 6 million people listening to this broadcast who are thinking negatively about dentists or anyone else can learn a little something about the empowering perspective that they can adopt that will lead them to the path of least resistance.
So now that the question's been answered, can our teeth problems stop?
What would be the perspective that you would adopt from this answer regarding dentists and teeth?
Release resistance.
And what was your resistance to?
Mine, to what the dentist would think of me.
So for you, it was a double. It was two eggs in one basket, kind of an answer.
Mm-hmm.
You got the tooth problem. The tooth problem caused you to worry about what the dentist would say, caused you to ask a question about worrying what a dentist would say, and led you to an answer that you received personally about not caring about what other people say. And why don't you care about what other people think or say?
Because it doesn't matter.
And because it's extremely limiting. And because it's their issue, not your issue. And because it has nothing to do with you. It's all with them. And it's all self-imposed because you can never know what anyone else thinks. And if someone says something to you that seems to represent a fear that you have, well, that's because they were inspired to do it because you needed to hear it. Right? So if you went to a dental chair and if you were feeling negative about yourself or limited about yourself and the way that you take care of your teeth, and the dentist said something to you, it would just be an attraction of that thought replayed in physical reality. And the dentist really had no other choice but to say it.
Right.
And he might later on think, why did I say this? That was a silly thing to say. Probably upset her. But in his mind, because he has this belief system that he should be the one telling you what to do, that it was actually all right for him to say that. Right? Whereas if you got pulled over for a speeding ticket and the cop looked at your teeth and says, listen, you really need to brush more, that would be something out of context, right? And he would never say that. But it's easier for the dentist to say because he's already there anyway, and that's what he says. So path of least resistance. You are attracting this worry about something that you think you're doing unsatisfactorily, and you care what someone like a dentist would think of the way you're taking care of your mouth, and that manifestation event comes through the path of least resistance when you go to the dentist. So what you want to do is you want to avoid the manifestation event altogether, right? So here's a chance for you to go to a dentist, worry about what the dentist is going to say, and then two things will happen. One, he will either say what you're worried about him saying, and that's a manifestation event because you'll feel negative emotion if you do, right? If you feel negative emotion, it's a manifestation event. And in that manifestation event, you have the opportunity to look at your limiting belief and say, I don't care what the dentist says.
Hmm.
Right? I don't care what anyone else says. I don't care what anything says. So you attract this unwanted thing through the dentist's mouth that's actually for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you're avoiding the thing that's actually for you. Why would you be avoiding it? What's the only reason you would avoid this?
Irrational fear of negative emotion.
Oh, negative emotion. Right. Exactly right. Oh, negative emotion. Now, why do you care about negative emotion? Because it feels bad?
Yeah, I suppose.
Why does it feel bad?
Because I choose a limited perspective.
Right, because you're choosing a limited perspective. As soon as you choose the higher perspective, you find a little relief and it doesn't feel as bad, right? But you're just and every human on earth is in this pattern of avoiding negative emotion. And when you avoid negative emotion, you limit yourself because you cannot uncover your limiting beliefs and you cannot go through. Now, the other thing may happen is when you get to the dentist may say, my God, your teeth are incredible. And then you feel good and it's still a manifestation event. It's just an empowering one. It's the one that intensifies a highly beneficial belief.
So would that be the more likely scenario if I were to spend time, like you've said, that I can avoid manifestation events just by working on the beliefs beforehand?
You can prepave your path.
Okay.
by realizing what's my fear. Okay, I have this tooth. Tooth is an indication, this painful tooth is an indication that I need to get something done, right? It's a notification to you. It's an alert. It's like a signal in your body alerting you to do something. The first thought that comes to you, go to the dentist. The next thought says, I'm afraid what the dentist is going to think. So there's an irrational fear right there. Because you know that it doesn't matter what he thinks. Nothing's going to happen one way or the other what he thinks. So if you have this fear, you can say, why do I have this irrational fear? What's the limiting belief behind it? It's the belief that I care what the dentist thinks. Why do I care what the dentist thinks? Well, I don't want him to think badly of me. Why do I not want the dentist to think badly of me? Well, because I have this persona that's false, and my ego is going to defend the persona, and I think that not taking care of your teeth is an irresponsible thing to do, and I want to be seen as responsible. And I don't want to be chastised by anyone older than me or anyone of authority. Right? Because I believe I'm a good person, but when someone chastises me, then the belief that I have that I'm a good person is diminished, and then I'll feel negative emotion again, and that doesn't feel good, and then I have to go sink into this deep depression, and I'll be mired in this anxiety, and I'll never get anywhere. Or you say, I don't care what he thinks, let's just go and do it. Let's see what happens. Let's adopt this stance of curiosity, this attitude of curiosity. We'll go in there with a good mood. We'll joke around with the receptionist. We'll, if they ask us what we want to drink, we'll say, yes, we'd like a brownie and some coffee. We'll play with them, right?
Oh, goodness.
And you'll make it into a fun time. And then you'll say, then you'll be in a such high state of being because you know that you're this powerful creator that no matter what the dentist says, it will not affect you. Because if he says something negative or that you perceive as negative, you'll say, hey, I knew that was going to come. How interesting that it came. I'm all prepared for it. And if he says something positive, you go, oh, how wonderful, it's something positive. Right? And then if on the way you find yourself behind a Brinks truck and the back doors open and money flows into your car. Well, that's but you never know unless you go. You're only limiting yourself by thinking that it's, you know, you're worried about what the dentist says, and so you don't go to the dentist.
Right. Why does this feel, is it just because it's wrapped up in what people think of me? This whole tooth thing feels bigger to me than other things that might seem like they should be a bigger deal. Like, What would be a bigger deal than a tooth? Okay, so that's a fear of a random person and what they would think of me. But in these interactions with men that I've been having, I've been pretty close to fearless with it. And that's an area where I don't know. I guess I've gained
a lot
of
men of authority figures.
I guess not.
Were they equals?
Equals, I guess.
So in your perception, you feel that some people have authority over you. Parents, teachers, dentists, lawyers, judges, things like that. And that some people are equal. And then there's some people who are lesser than you, like your children. And that you can dominate the lower ones, be subservient to the higher ones, and be calm with this one group of your equals. So that the equals matter less what they think, the superiors matters more what they think, and the lowers matters not at all what they think, or much less than what they think. And that's as far as, not intellectually, but as far as the stimulation of this ego-defending persona response. So your persona is not attacked when your equals might think anything, because they would, because if they thought anything, you say, what do they know? They're just my peers. But if the judge says something, or the cop says something, or the lawyer says something, or the dentist says something, or your parents say something, well, you think they know more. Actually, they know less. Actually, everyone you know, except for the people in this room, this virtual room of 6 million, no less. Hmm. Oprah right. knows less than you do. Okay. So now when you go to the dentist, and the dentist who knows nothing is inspired to say something, you realize that it's not even him saying it. It's right. just the universe bringing these words through this clump of flesh that happens to be standing next to you. And it happens to be within the same belief system that will allow this clump to say these words. And you think it's coming from the clump.
Yeah,
it's actually coming from the universe.
Right. I'm just like, I feel like I'm on the edge of really realizing that all the time. I've been doing it more and more, not necessarily with other people, though sometimes, but in my own head, I've been receiving these ideas and these thoughts and sort of asking questions, like thinking about a question that I want to write to you. And then I'm just sort of, it feels like almost downloading the answer.
And that's the natural way it should be. That's how the system was designed. That's how, if you weren't taught to not believe this, that this would be a natural thing that you would have. Everyone would have. It's like seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, right? Now, the physical senses, because you're in physical reality, are more obvious, right? Mm. No one has to tell you what you're seeing or that you have sight, but they do have to tell you what you're looking at, right? Those are good. Before you know it's a chair, someone has to say that that's a chair. That's why you can't remember anything, you know, before you were about 2 years old, because you didn't know what anything was. So you saw things, but you didn't know what they were, so they had no reference. They were just fuzzy colors and shapes. And until you put a reference to it, you can't know what it was. And so for you, they did not really exist as a chair. It was not even a concept of a chair. It was a fuzzy shape. Huh. Right. So now you've built in these references of what things are through your physical senses, and people have told you how to use them, and you think that you know how to hear and how to smell and how to taste and touch, unless you've lost the sense of smell or something along the way. And but you never knew you had this ability to communicate with the non-physical, ability to reach for intelligence, because you were taught that your thoughts were created in your mind. But the thoughts are not created in the mind. They're attracted. Everything's attracted. This is an attractive universe. You birth a desire, and the information is attracted. Now, you aren't a vibrational match to the information once you birth a desire. It's a process. A step-by-step process of going a little bit up, reaching some information, a little bit more, reaching a manifestation, a little bit more, getting into another manifestation event that alters the belief, moving a little higher until you align with the full vibration of the thing that you want to manifest. And it appears in your life just as the chair was always there. You didn't know it was a chair. When you are told that it's a chair, now it's a chair. Right. And now as you get older and have more experience with chairs, you can have a more intimate relationship with chairs that you like to buy, sell, own, destroy, whatever. It's the same with anything else. So you ask a question. Now you realize that, well, Esther can ask a question, get an answer. Gary can ask a question, get an answer. A lot of people can ask questions, get an answer. Why can't I ask a question, get an answer? So you ask a question, you get an answer, and then what do you think? Well, you think, well, that sounds the same as my own thoughts. Is it just me answering my own question? But was it you answering your own question? Or was it infinite intelligence with the answer already there waiting for you instantly, instantaneously, the second that you answer? You didn't have to think about it. It was just there. Yeah. So then you think about that, and you're like, well, that does make sense. I accept it as an answer, and I'm going to incorporate that intelligence. And from that, your vibration gets a little higher, and you get the ability to attract more information. So, what was the information you attracted?
There's been a lot, like in the past 2 days, but sort of about what the next part of my path has to do with, which is I had this, I'm embarrassed. I had this vision, which I obviously need to get over. I could get over. So I had this vision of me at the White House, which is interesting. Because that's something that my mom always said to me when I was little. She'd say, oh, well, when you're at the White House, you know, you won't want to do this or that. Like when I was 18, I told her I was going to get tattoos. She said, well, just make sure you can get them, you know, somewhere you can cover them up. So when you're at the White House. So anyways, I had this vision without thinking about my mom at all about me being at the White House and being recognized for, I don't know, my accomplishments in a field somewhat related to like sex and my openness about it. And so I just thought it was funny that if I didn't end up at the White House, that it would have to do with that. So I've just been having lots of thoughts around like how I feel about sex, how I would like to talk about it more openly.
Right. And Infinite Intelligence is the perfect entity to talk to about sex because there's no judgment.
Right.
And you can ask whatever you want to ask, and the answers come back in the most loving way possible or even imaginable. Right.
Yeah.
So that it's very freeing. And so when you receive these answers about sex, don't they seem as if they're without free, with that they're free of judgment?
Yeah.
And if you were to answer your own questions about sex, you'd want to be free of judgment. But you probably wouldn't be as free of judgment as these answers are. And that's how you know that these answers are coming from somewhere else, not just you. Mm. Now, we will say that it is a co-creation. It is answers that are delivered in a way that you can hear them based on your belief system. Mm. So they aren't the full answer because your belief system is limited. If it was completely expansive, then you would receive the full answer. But the answer has to come in a way that matches with your beliefs. Right? So we will say that imagine that the full answer is a salt shaker, and it's the salt that's in that shaker, and that the answer you receive is a sprinkling that is not too salty. It's just enough to make it taste good. Right? So the more you open your beliefs, the more of the answer can come out. The more salt you'll be able to take.
Right.
Yeah. So that's excellent. So you have a new way of looking at this issue now. And so you are more empowered to take it another step further. You are less judgmental of yourself, we will say. You are more confident in that the ideas and things that you want to do in whatever regard are more appropriate. That this notion that humans have about sex is very repressed. Even today, it's very repressed. In the future, it'll be much more open, but still, even though we're in 2016 and we're in the most exciting time in the history of the world, we will say that the sexual aspect of humanity is quite limited. And there is a lot more to go. And thank God for the internet, because now you can see where it's going. That there are millions of different things to enjoy. Excellent. All right. Who's next?
Can I go?
You may.
Of course.
I'm super excited about this. I'm back on my Bitcoin kick. I'm kind of kicking myself for not staying on it back when I first got on it, because it's gone up a lot. But I wanted to get your take on, from what I'm seeing, it makes total sense to me in my belief, and I'm trying to phrase this right, I have a belief that the U.S. dollar, as a currency, is going to collapse, like all the other fiat currencies, which are currencies that are not based on anything like gold or silver or something backing it. So the rest of the world is connected to the U.S. dollar. So all the other currencies in the world are based on the dollar. So if the dollar fails, the entire world's currency fails. So this would be kind of a big thing to happen. And looking at gold and silver, which has been the standby for eons, every time a currency fails, the gold saves the day, right? I'm thinking now that we have the technology for Bitcoin, and it's just so much better than gold, and it has all the characteristics of gold, that I think that Bitcoin is going to be like the next big thing. So part of me wants to invest large sums of money into Bitcoin. But then there's another part of me that says, okay, that's very risky. You can't, you know, this, you don't want to be haphazard with your family's funds. So what I want is Joshua to say, yeah, that's an awesome idea. That's going to go through the roof. You want to invest as much as you can in Bitcoin.
Here's what we'll explain about the idea of currency. When you have a fiat currency that is the country's currency, the country, the government, has control over the use of that currency. It can take the currency away. It can raise and lower the value of the currency. And it uses the currency for political agenda.
Right.
Now, possibly at some point in the history of the planet, that was a good thing. But as the planet evolves and borders are being broken down through the internet and through open travel and through people being able to live and work wherever they want to live because they don't need to be in any certain place, that the currency is used for more control. And when anything's used as a control mechanism, it's done so out of fear. So the basis of your currency is fear. Bitcoin, however, is an open source platform. It has no controls. There is fear around it, but the code of the Bitcoin is without fear. Mm-hmm. Right? So that it becomes simply more reliable than one country, one little, because it's a global thing. It will become at some point more reliable, more without controls, open, more attainable in the future. Right now it's very limited. Most people don't even know it exists. It's very difficult to buy it and trade it and sell it and use it. But in the future, it's going to become ubiquitous. Now, the big thing is that it's in the benefit of a fiat currency to produce more dollars, we'll say. Okay? It's in the best interest of the U.S. to keep the value of the dollar lower so that the exports are less expensive and the imports are more expensive. Right? Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing about technology is that technology reduces the price of everything. It is – obviously, you're in the computer business. It's cheaper. The computer that you have now for $1,000 is 10 times the computer you had 5 years ago for same $1,000, right?
Yep.
So the value of the computer is greatly more, but the price is the same. So the real price or the real cost of that item is going down through technology. But it seems like it's a little bit more expensive or at least the same price because the U.S. government is putting more money out there. So as it prints and produces more money, it keeps an idea going of that you must buy now because it'd be more expensive in the future. So fewer people save. But also by investing, the price of a stock will go up, not because the business is doing any better, but there's more dollars needed to buy one share now than there were 10 years ago because the dollar is worth less now. Mm-hmm. So this is an idea. Obviously, it's a larger idea, but it's working very well to sort of keep the status quo going. So when Bitcoin comes along, where it is also releasing more Bitcoin every day, but there's a finite amount of it. Mm-hmm. And in a few decades, there will be no more Bitcoin made. And you know every day how much Bitcoin is being made for that day being mined for that day. And in the government, you have no idea how much is being produced every day because it changes every quarter. And there's no controls over Bitcoin, of what the value of Bitcoin is, where there's controls over the dollar through adjustments to lending, cost of borrowing, prime rate, things like that. So when nobody has control over something like gold, then the gold can reflect an accurate amount. So gold is still being mined, and nobody knows how much gold is being mined or how much is being lost, you know, that there seems to be a certain amount of gold in the market. But it's still – nobody knows how much there is, and it's still – you can't really send a bar of gold to somebody else for payment. You can't really carry around a bar of gold.
Right.
But with Bitcoin, you can do all the things that gold does and more. And Bitcoin itself is a platform, like the internet's a platform. So there's so many more ideas that can come on top of that that haven't even been, you know, brought to physical reality yet.
Right. The blockchain.
Right. So we say that just the idea of Bitcoin, which is revolutionary, which is a which was brought to physical reality that existed, it's a very high vibration. It's very advanced, and it's, you know, it's one of those ideas that most people are not ready for. But as the value of this platform becomes wider known and the ease of people buying it becomes easier, and the less technical it becomes and the more useful it becomes, then more and more people will adopt it. And as more people adopt a finite resource or item, the value of that grows. And so we say, do whatever you feel comfortable with, but from our perspective, it is a wonderful thing to behold.
Mm. Well, I like it because it's so, like, I have a friend in another country that needs to send me money, and it's challenging. You have to, you know, go through all these things, and there's conversions. And with Bitcoin, it would just be, it's just a simple, quick 1/32nd transaction on my phone. Right. And I can do that with anyone on the planet at that point.
And that's just one of the uses, the multitude of uses of Bitcoin.
Okay. Well, good. Yep. Everything I see about it just seems. But what about the upcoming currency? I mean, if there is a currency failure of the U.S. dollar, that's going to cause what I would imagine a lot of stress, people. I don't know. I don't want to be fear-based. I don't want to be doomsdayer. I see it as a positive change, like a shift that's required to happen, you know. But would I
– from what we see, there is no need to worry about that. We see the currency of the dollar being the most stable one, and that there might be other currencies in smaller countries around the world that have currency issues, but the dollar is the standard, and there is, you know, it is less robust than what Bitcoin will be, because it is controlled by men and controlled out of fear. It'll still remain the most widely used financial instrument throughout the world.
Okay. It'll just be devalued as it goes.
It'll just be devalued, and people will see the difference between the two over time, and will like Gary has wanted to open this restaurant that's a Bitcoin restaurant. So that when you're a customer, you come in and you have a little machine there and you buy Bitcoin, and then you can buy your meal with Bitcoin, right? And so you go to the counter and you pay with Bitcoin. And then the Bitcoin is, at the end of the day, automatically dispersed to all the employees for their contribution for that day, dispersed to the vendors for their contribution for that day, dispersed to the utilities for their contribution to that day, and it all automatically goes, without anyone doing anything, into all these separate accounts. So you have 15 employees, an employee works 3 hours, he receives so much Bitcoin for the 3 hours that he's worked that day. in that one employee's account will be an account for a savings, an account for his goes to a checking account, an account that goes to pay taxes, all without anyone having to do anything. And that he'll be able to see how much he's made on the hour if he wanted to, instead of having to wait a week or a month to get paid, that sort of thing. And everything would be dispersed and everything would be transparent so that anyone could see where all the money went at any time, whoever wanted to.
Yes, even people outside your business.
Even people outside the business.
Public information.
Right. Why not be all transparent? The only reason to have a secret in business is because you think that your competitors will find out something or the customers will find out something you don't want them to know, things like that.
Some nonprofit companies are saying if they did all their business, like charities, if they did all their business on using Bitcoin, everybody could just go see where they're spending their money and how much money they're spending. And
they could do that now if they wanted to.
Yeah.
They could have a spreadsheet and put it on their website and have it updated every day. And so anyone who wanted can come and see where all the money went.
Yeah, but that could be lied. There's going to be lies on that. On the Bitcoin, there's no lies, right?
It would be more difficult to lie on Bitcoin. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So I think I'm hearing it's a good thing, positive thing, and probably wouldn't be a bad thing to get some Bitcoins.
Get some Bitcoins.
Okay. I'm going for it.
Get some Ether, too.
I was. Ethereum, right? I was kind of curious. It's like the little baby brother right now to Bitcoin, and I'm thinking it wouldn't hurt to have some of both because I'm sure Bitcoin will be the big player, but Ethereum is so popular right now, it seems like, and it's so cheaper. It's so much cheaper right now.
And it has use cases that Bitcoin doesn't have.
Right.
And it has a different model for releasing more Ether.
For mining.
Mining more Ether.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So like equal amounts of Bitcoin and Ethereum?
Whatever you're comfortable with.
Hmm.
Be inspired. Read some things. Follow your inspiration. Do a little at a time. See where it goes.
Okay. Baby steps.
Yes. And then when Bitcoin is worth $2 million of Bitcoin, you can thank us.
I think it's coming. I do.
But when it's $200 of Bitcoin, don't blame us.
That'll only be temporary. It's 600 right now. And it used to be pennies. God, I wish I would have hopped on a while back.
It was. One time we inspired someone to buy a pizza. And he bought two pizzas and he paid
10,000
Bitcoin. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that would be worth how much today?
Many millions. 10,000 times 600.
$6 million he spent for that pizza.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are two pizzas.
Oh, okay. $3 million each.
Excellent.
Wow. Good.
Kate, what are you doing? What are you up to?
Oh, I was just thinking about this Bitcoin. I was thinking, Steve, you got to hurry up because 6 million other people are going to hop on board now.
Oh, you're right.
Of those 6 million people.
Including me.
Yeah.
Of those 6 million people, though, how many will be at the vibration where they will even understand what we're talking about?
I feel sorry for... I'm technical, right? I'm a technical guy, and it's been challenging for me to – I need to understand everything about Bitcoin before I can invest in it, and it's been challenging for me to understand it. And I'm technical, so I'm thinking, God, this has got to be tough for a lot of people. But when they make it easy, you know, like people probably don't know how the phone works, right? But people just pick up
or
the phone.
Or how the universe works.
Right, or how the universe works. So when they make it easy, it'll become popular.
Yeah.
So – this is a way of looking at anything that's new, a way of looking at sex that's new, of technology that's new, of social conditions that's new, of the way the universe works that's new to you. You have these limiting beliefs, and these beliefs were beat into your head as a child, and then you just got caught up in this whole society, and then you just looked at your life in the way that you thought was appropriate, even though you knew it wasn't fulfilling. And so when an issue comes up, you might think that this is good or bad, right? So you might have heard the first time someone said Bitcoin, and you might have said, that's bad. And that limited you from looking forward into it because you thought it was bad. I believe it's not for me. I'm not going to even limit it coming to you. But if the word Bitcoin came into your experience, it was for you. Something there was for you, and you can follow it. But by calling it bad, you limit yourself, right? Gary was at poker this week. And on Sunday, a lot of the football games, a lot of the football players kneeled during the national anthem to protest the treatment of African Americans in North America. And a lot of the poker players were saying that this is a bad thing, that how dare they not stand for the national anthem. And if you think that this is bad, then this limits your idea of what change is emerging right now and how you can be of benefit and move forward and be with it, right? So imagine that here is this movement going forward to change something in a positive way, but some aspect of the way that this movement is progressing is offensive to you. So you just stop and cut yourself off from the whole thing. Well, this is entirely limiting. Why not be more open? Why not be more accepting and say that I can see their perspective? I'm going to look at it from the other guy's perspective. I'm going to try and find a way to see how this could be right. I'm looking for the rightness in this. And if you can see that, well, then there's no negative emotion. You're not upset with the people who are not standing for the national anthem. You can stand if you want to, but when you say that they're wrong for not standing, then you limit yourself. You don't limit them. You don't do anything to them. They don't even know about you. They don't care about you. It has nothing to do with them. It's all with you. Your universe surrounds you. You are the center of your universe. The only thing that matters in the whole world is what you think, is your perception of your reality. So by saying someone's wrong and they should be doing something other than what they're doing, you limit your reality. We'll let that one sink in.
I did that with Bitcoin. My ex was super into Bitcoin. So until this conversation, probably every time I heard the word Bitcoin, I rolled my eyes. But now I'm more open.
And
now you're like, go for it.
Yeah, I know, right?
So that's true of everything. Single thing. If you had not rolled your eyes right then, and if you had gotten into it right then, you could have bought it for 12 cents and now it's $600.
Yeah.
Back then. Right. Of course, you probably wouldn't have because back then you had no code to buy it or to get it.
Well, so, he was like mining it. He was using my computer to mine it. Maybe I have a right.
You could have mined it. Exactly.
I should have asked about that in the divorce.
You might have a shitload of money that you don't know about.
That's all right. I do.
There's no way to know about it.
That I know about. It's out there. It's coming to me.
You might go back and say, hey, you know about that Bitcoin that was mined on my computer? Yeah. Why don't you send that over?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Wendy, how's your week been?
Oh, it's been all right. I have a question going back to that about the kneeling and all that. I don't perceive, I mean, in my reality, my little reality, I don't perceive this problem. And between blacks and whites and yellows and greens, I have a hard time even being involved in it, I guess, or even thinking about it, because I don't know. I just.
So in your world, this.
In my world, it doesn't exist.
In your world, but does your world include TV?
A little bit.
So in your TV part of your world, it exists.
Yeah.
And so you must form a conclusion. And what is the conclusion that you're forming about this? You see that there are issues in Charlotte. You see that there are issues all over the country, that the police are acting in ways that seem to be out of alignment with what you believe the world should be about. Love.
Yes, and I also feel that the people that are interacting with the police are acting in a way that I don't feel is, I don't think any either side is better than the other, I guess.
Okay. So do you think that the people who are interacting with the police are right? Are doing everything perfectly?
No, I know.
And do you think that the police are doing everything perfectly?
No.
Then what is your conclusion?
I don't have a conclusion.
What's the higher perspective? Anyone?
Well, the higher perspective that what I'm gathering from this is that they all, this is all their creation. It's their reality.
It's your reality too, because it's in your reality.
But I can't affect it. How can I affect it?
What's the reality that you prefer?
Everybody gets along.
So the reality you prefer is that there's peace and love and harmony, mm-hmm. and that everyone gets along. Mm-hmm. And what's happening here is that this is a coordinated, created group of manifestation events mm-hmm. that allow people to figure it out. Everybody is figuring it out. Everybody is working towards the same goal. There are outliers who are pushing the buttons so there's conversation. But when a child is shot in this city, there was love poured to that community.
Yes, I do see that aspect of it. Yes.
Right. Yeah. And when a policeman is shot in this city, there is love poured to that community.
Right. I do. Right. I do.
And what we all want is for it to work out. Mm-hmm. What you don't want is for people to say that this group is wrong and this group should be different than they are.
Absolutely.
This group is wrong and it should be different. We should get rid of the bad cops. We should get rid of the bad people. We should have none of the bad, and what would be left would be all the good.
Right.
But if you're going to judge good from bad, well, if you get rid of all the bad people, then who's the worst of the good? Because you've mm-hmm. got to get rid of that person too. Mm-hmm. Get rid of that person, then who's the next down line? Right. Until we get to the last two people who are the only two good people, because they're the only two left. So what you have to think about is that this will all work out. We are obviously seeing a country that is progressing in terms of race and discrimination. And as it progresses, it meets up with some resistance, and then the resistance gets worked out, and it progresses more, and it'll meet up with some resistance, and it'll progress more, and it'll meet up with some resistance, and it'll progress more, until eventually it's a minor issue compared to what it was.
Okay, that makes sense, because my underlying belief of all of this is it will all work out.
It will all work out, exactly.
I don't really need to be involved because it's all going to work out.
And so then when you are sitting watching a football game and you see a player kneel to the national anthem and mm-hmm. someone in the room says that's a disgrace, mm-hmm. what do you think then?
Well, on that, I don't think, personally, I guess, I don't think that's the proper...
But you can only think personally.
Yeah, okay. So how is that a proper protest in that our national anthem encompasses all of us as a country?
It doesn't encompass anyone in Canada.
Right. But so
our you're saying that people in Canada shouldn't be encompassed in all of us?
No, I mean...
How about people in Mexico?
Yeah.
Or in Paris, or in South Africa.
I see where you're going. I see where you're going.
What is the benefit of patriotism?
Well, you're right, because it rallies us against them kind of thing.
It separates you into groups.
Yeah, separates.
Right.
Separates.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's something that you want.
Why is there a national anthem? What's the purpose of it?
Patriotism and separation.
To separate you into a group so that when the government needs you, you'll go and kill people.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
It's a control mechanism.
Yeah.
Now you can look at it like a wonderful, inspiring thing and be so proud and happy to be an American or any country that you're in and say, this is the most wonderful country in the world. And that is the perspective that is the higher perspective. And that's the empowering perspective. And that's good. But when you say that other people should do something that you think is good for you, well, then now you're being limited again. You're looking at it from a limited perspective. Right? You're not looking at it from their perspective.
Right.
Yeah. So would you prefer that they kneel during the national anthem, or that they not play at all, or that they go and take part in a riot, or that they go and take vengeance?
Well, I guess, yeah, no vengeance. But I guess, too, it's like these athletes, I guess what it boils down to is I want to watch a football game. I don't want those players' opinions being like pushed upon me in a sense.
Well, you would if they were the same opinions as you.
I don't have an opinion about it. I mean, whatever they want to do, I guess there is no problem. I guess right. There is no problem. Because we were talking about it, I just think that it will all work out and everybody gets worked up about it. I just want to watch football.
If you can remove yourself from any negative aspect of some other person's opinion, then you can be free to allow them to have whatever opinions they want, even when their opinions are of you.
Well, yes, and then you can take that back, I guess, to the country. The reason that they can do what they're doing is because we have freedom of speech in our country and other countries don't. And
what countries don't have freedom of football?
Freedom of football.
Is there a country that you can't play football in?
Not that I know of.
There's a country you can't play poker in.
Really?
You can't play online poker in three countries. You know those three countries?
I would say probably China.
China, Russia, and the United States.
Really?
The least free country in the world.
Wow.
The three least free countries. But that's just a perspective, right?
Yeah.
You can also say it's the most free country in the world.
Right.
You know? It's just your perspective. But to say that they should do something you think is proper to respect their country, well, what they're doing is living the full and highest expression of who they are as an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the country did not provide that. That was their birthright. Okay. They chose to be born in this country. They chose their parents. They chose their body. They chose the things they wanted to explore. And if it comes to it where they are not allowed to play football because of this expression of defiance, that would be something they would have chose also. It would have been a prominent person who has a lot of eyeballs on them, and then something happens to them because of something that they're passionate about that affects millions of other people, was chosen in advance.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So we say that just look at things from your perspective, what would make you feel better. Does it make you feel better when you think that they're wrong for not standing for the national anthem? Or does it make you feel better when you think they're right for not standing for the national anthem? If you think something is right, you are aligned with who you are. If you think something is wrong, you are just resisting everything that you are. This is the approach to life that we're talking about.
Right.
It is a non-resistant, in any case, approach to life. It is a tolerant and accepting approach to life. It is a receiving approach and not fighting against approach. Right? And you maybe ask, well, is their approach to this issue the receiving, the non-resistant one, or is it the resistant one? Well, that's for them to figure out. We're just talking about you and your life. What you want out of life will come through non-resistance.
Right.
And we're only talking about you. Other people can do whatever they want to do. We are not trying to change anyone's beliefs. We're simply saying that if you want everything you want to come to you, the way you get it is through non-resistance. And not thinking somebody or something is wrong. When you think something or somebody is wrong, You'll get a message in the form of negative emotion. When you persist on believing that things are wrong, you will get migraine.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or a flu. Mm-hmm. Or you'll step on a piece of glass. Gary's about to move, and every time they move, he injures his foot in some fashion.
So he doesn't have to move.
He doesn't have to lift anything.
I love
it. And this time, he was asked to take everything out of this top cabinet, and there was a glass platter on the top cabinet, which slipped and smashed on the ground, and Lily came and quickly cleaned it up. And she's very diligent about things like that. Except this time she left 94 pieces of glass on the floor and Gary stepped on one of them. And then got embedded into his foot and he couldn't walk.
Awesome.
But then it went away. Because he got exactly what he wanted out of it. Then he didn't have to do anything.
That's funny.
If I can be greedy, I got one more thing I wanted to get off my chest.
Let's go.
I used to have road rage incidences, but I haven't for a long time. But last week, it was funny, we kind of brought it up in passing. And then a couple of days later, I had the start of a road rage incident on the freeway. But I immediately knew that I had attracted it, and I was wondering why. So what I notice is the pattern is I'm always in a small car. This doesn't happen on my motorcycle, which is weird. It's always I'm in my little sports car, which is tiny. And then there's a big truck. It's always a big truck. And it's always usually a big guy, but not too big that I can't take him. But he's a bigger guy. And he has this, and he, in the last two times, they've actually taken their big vehicle and like steered into me, like they're faking that they're going to turn into me or injure, you know. So it's to me, I can ramp it up because, hey, now they're using their vehicle as a weapon, right? And that's very dangerous.
That's even more wrong.
It's even more wrong. So the way I take it is like I need to save and protect others by teaching this person a lesson that they can't just get away with this willy-nilly, you know. It's almost like I'm doing a public service. So I need to get them to pull over to the side of the road and then threaten. I don't have to beat the crap out of them, but at least threaten to beat the crap out of them if they ever do that again. And so I'm serious about this. This is how I, you know, feel.
This is how your perception is, but is it real?
No. And so then if you switch gears.
Is it rational at all?
No. I know that obviously what this is I have something going on with big bullies. I think it's, you know, it's a big truck, it's a big guy, and bullies need to be put in their place. And I think it's coming from my history where I felt like I was bullied, but at the time I was bullied, I couldn't do anything about it. I wasn't big enough. I didn't have that part of me there.
So
right?
At the time you were bullied, you were feeling vulnerable.
Yeah.
At the time you're in your little car next to a truck, you're feeling vulnerable.
Okay. I mean, any vehicle could do damage. It doesn't have to be a big vehicle, but maybe I'm splitting hairs here.
Well, you're looking at any kid could have been a bully to you, but it was always the big kids.
Okay.
And so you are simply attracting this influence from the universe based on how you're feeling so that you can get over this limiting belief, by the way.
Right. Yeah.
So is the truck driver constantly swerving into every single little car that passes it or just you?
No. I changed lanes in front of him and he took offense at this.
Right.
So it was a deliberate response to my behavior.
So is he doing this to everyone else who does the exact same thing to you or just you?
I'm thinking that he probably does it to a lot of people who...
What's happening is this is the response from the universe coming in through the path of least resistance, and the truck driver that has the same set of beliefs that will allow him to do something like that with his truck.
Right.
Right. So, like everything else, the universe is orchestrating this manifestation event so that you can see your limiting belief, analyze it, find out that it's irrational, based on irrational fear, and prove to yourself that the fear is wrong. Or not wrong, but prove to yourself that the fear is false.
Well, if I didn't have this active inside me, it wouldn't have happened. So,
if you didn't have this limiting belief that you need to resolve before you can move on to the next level and manifest those things that you want to manifest.
Right, right.
This limiting belief has to be lowered in intensity.
Yes.
And it's going to keep coming up until you analyze it.
So I want to squash it right now.
You don't have to squash it because you can't squash anything.
Okay.
But you can reduce the intensity of it by saying things like, I'm safe, I'm powerful, but I create my own reality, nothing's going to happen, I can't change anyone else, everyone else is attracting what they need to attract, I can't save anyone else. If I was to save someone else, then they wouldn't get what they needed, right?
That's the big thing. I think I have to save mm-hmm. other people. I have right. to save.
But what you're doing is you're saving them from those things they need. It's like keeping your son out of a fight for the rest of his life by taking him out of school. Right? Or keeping Kyla having her younger son wrapped in bubble wrap so the older son, when he punches the younger son, the younger son can't feel it.
Right. Okay.
These are things that need for other people need to go through these things that they need to go through. Otherwise, they wouldn't go through them. And by you saving him, you're just saying that the universe is making mistakes and that you know right. better.
And I see it as wrong. Mm. You know, it's funny because
you see it as wrong.
I don't question these things that I always used to think in the past were wrong. Like my new perspective, nothing is wrong, right? But if I never look at it, I take the old, like, dentists are wrong.
Mm. Right, because it's a habit with a lot of momentum.
Okay, that's right. Good.
Yeah,
I could see that as a positive because I didn't really think that I thought everybody thought bullies are wrong. Of course, bullies are wrong, but no, they're serving a purpose too.
They're serving a purpose.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, exactly. I feel better about that. Mm. Well, the good thing was on the road rage guy, after I called him an asshole, I did start laughing. I mean, I got to the point where I was laughing about it and it was okay. And I actually waved to him. I don't know if he disliked that, but when I pulled off the road, so I like to think I healed myself.
Excellent. That's all you have to think, right?
Yeah.
The only thing that matters is what you think.
Good.
Because nothing else matters. You create from your thoughts. You can't create another people's reality and they can't create in yours. So it doesn't matter what they think because they can't create in your reality by what they think. It only matters what you think they think. So you can go into any situation and think that the best. You can think the best because you don't know any difference anyway, so might as well think the best. So you can think, you know, I resolved this whole issue perfectly, and I think I left the truck driver in a better place, and now I think he's going to feel better about the world and better about life and himself, and he's going to make the world a better place. So I did a great thing there.
Okay.
Right. And you can say, oh, that's a bunch of bull. It's probably not true. Or you can say, absolutely, that's true. But you don't know either way, so you might as well say the one that's empowering.
That I refer to this whole spirituality thing that I go, you know, no one has any proof of anything. I go, this makes me feel good, so I'm going to believe in this.
Only thing that matters is how you feel.
Yeah.
The only thing that matters is how you feel. Everything's created by how you feel. If you feel good, then you will have a good feeling life and you'll have good feeling moments and good feeling things will happen and things will line up. If you generally feel good, so generally do whatever it takes to feel good. Think whatever thoughts it takes to feel good. Use whatever perception you need to fool yourself into feeling good. Be as ridiculous as you want to be. There is no reason ever to feel bad. If you are feeling bad, it is an indication that you're looking at it from a perspective that's limited. From a higher perspective, you would never feel bad about anything. Your inner self never feels bad about anything. And this is why when you feel bad about something, you feel negative emotion because you are disagreeing with the way your inner self feels about it. Now, your inner self has one job and one job only, and that is to lead you to those things that you want to explore, that you want to discover, that you want to enjoy, to the manifestation of your dreams, desires, everything. And so the inner self is focused on how to get you there and that perspective you need to get you there. And as long as your perspective lines up with your inner self, then you're on your way to getting everything you want. But once you feel negative emotion, well, that's a sign that your perspective is off. It's like the little bumps on the road causing you to realize that you're just looking at this from the perspective that is limited, and you need to adjust your perspective if you want things to unfold as you want them to. Now, does everyone here want their life to be wonderful?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then why are you being attached to things that are wrong?
At this point, I don't know that I'm attached to them being wrong. As soon as I discover it, though, I take care of that.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's the approach to life, that nothing is wrong, that everything is happening for you, that you need to change nothing outside of you, that everything that you need to change will be changed from the inside out. Okay. And we're not saying it's going to magically happen, but what happens is, if you can realize that the conditions that exist right now are perfect for the vibration that you offer right now, and if you want things to get better, then you adapt to a new vibration by saying that everything that exists now is perfect, and I now want this to happen. I want to focus on this. And know that if that doesn't exist in your life, it's because you're not a vibrational match to it, so your vibration has to change, which means that your beliefs will have to change too, right? If you believe that you are fat, lazy, and stupid, then you're going to have a life that looks like that. But if you want your life to be something different, you will have to believe that you are good-looking, lean, and intelligent. And that's a different kind of life. So how do you get from one to the other? Well, you can see that the person who thinks he's fat, lazy, and stupid is going to have a problem getting to this other level unless he drops his limiting beliefs. And so this fat, lazy, stupid person who really wants to be intelligent, thin, and active and wealthy and all that will be put up against these manifestation against events his whole life to change how he feels about himself. And if he resists these events and doesn't change, his life will be one of struggle and misery because he will always be facing these manifestation events, always resisting, always feeling negative emotion, always feeling frustrated, and could spiral downward. But it's only because they don't know how the universe works. If that person knew how the universe works, then they could change and they could see the moment a manifestation event came up and they felt negative emotion, that they can realize that that's a limiting belief. Oh, this is one thing I got to change. Okay, let's see how this is false. All right, I'm writing down why it's false. I'm not stupid because I have access to infinite intelligence just like everyone else does, right? I'm not lazy. I just don't want to do things I don't want to do. That's perfectly right. You know, all these things. And then over time, gradually, things change. And he gets more confidence, and things change, and he gets more confidence, and he starts feeling better. And as he feels better, he gets inspiration, and then he pushes through this fear and acts on the inspiration. Because once inspiration comes up, you'll have these little fears, push through the fears, and move forward, and move forward, and move forward, and eventually he will be Donald Trump. Oh. Well, that wasn't so funny. Crickets.
That was very accurate. Very good.
Yeah. All right. Have we answered the world's questions this week? The most exciting week so far in the history of the world?
I think so.
Yep. Excellent. Well, we look forward to another exciting week next week. It'll be the most exciting week of the year, of the history of the planet next week. We can't wait to be there. We're going to go there now. We'll see you when you guys get there.
It's going to take us about a week.
Okay, well, hurry up. We have nothing to do until you get there.
It'll go quick.
Okay, excellent. Well, very good. We enjoy this interaction immensely. And as always, we wish you the best week, and we are complete.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.